Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
My friend John says, scuffling with cops. That's one way of saying it. A guy wanted on weapons and robbery warrants, escaped arrest, jumps in his front seat, and fought with law enforcement, either trying to escape in the car at high speeds or was trying to get a weapon. When the handcuffs come out, get handcuffed. You're getting handcuffed one way or another. Get arrested and have your day in court. If you escape and jump in your car front seat, then you subject yourself to the cops that could be incompetent, poorly trained, tired, angry, intoxicated, evil, racist, nervous, etc., etc. I love John. I want to play this sound from the body cam footage released yesterday in this town, Brooklyn Center, which is outside of Minneapolis. Listen. Got a warrant. That's it. Look, a lot of silence there when they were trying to handcuff the young men. You clearly hear the cop saying, taser, 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 taser. Then she uses an expletive and then says, I shot him. I shot him. I had to grab one of the best in the country. Ron Layton worked four terms, four presidents, a Secret Service at the highest level. Two PhDs, one of the best in the country at this sort of analysis and training, and I had to get his take this morning. Ron Layton, good morning, sir. How are you?
Marty, good morning. Thanks for having me back on KDKA.
All right. Jump in here, sir. Your take on this horrible tragedy, sir.
So, Marty, it was flat out, it was very difficult to watch.
Yeah.
And if I've heard on one occasion, I've heard it on thousands of occasions, just like you have, that if subjects would just comply, you wouldn't see these kinds of problems. And of course, no one disputes that, but there's an associated narrative where you just say, that's nice, but look at all of the other subjects who run, who fight, who actually kill people. And what happens when those folks are taken into custody? They are taken into custody in large measure without incident.
All right, hold on. Let me jump in. This is very important, and this is very relevant to race. So on any given weekend, if you know any cop that works drunks outside of bars, they will confront and get in fist fights with drunk white suspects, and they don't shoot and kill them. They get in fist fights with enraged, drunk folks on meth, which makes them insane, and they don't shoot and kill them when they try to run. So I think that's a valid point, what you're making, sir.
So you're absolutely correct, Marty, and I'm going to tell you something that people may not agree with. They're certainly not going to like, but I am telling you, I'm giving you the benefit of my 30 years of experience in this field.
Right.
And again, no one's going to like this, but there are many officers who are taught from the time that they start on the job that you are much, much, much more likely to be harmed by a black male. Now, I want you to think about that as a young patrol officer. If you learn that, what that really means is that if you pull over a black motorist or you're dealing with somebody who's African American, you are going to treat them differently because you have a higher perception that that person is dangerous. So if you go into a stop knowing that that person is dangerous because you've been taught that, you're going to treat them differently. You're going to talk to them differently. And here's the other thing, Marty. You are going to pay less attention to de-escalating language, conversation, tactics. And I do want to talk about the tactics of what happened. But no one wants to hear that. Nobody wants to listen to that. And I promise you that many, many officers will teach other officers that. And if you take that through the entirety of your career, you're going to run into instances that you actually will treat folks differently based on your perception, based on a flawed training model. And that is a big, big deal. We have to change in this field how we approach people.
Ron Layton joining me. Worked Secret Service, 4 presidents, 4 terms, amazing history, 2 PhDs. One of the best in the world at this sort of issue. Hey, Ron, let's get this out of the way because I think it's relevant and significant. There are cases where a cop grabbed the taser instead of the gun, sir, but they're extremely, extremely rare. Yes or no?
No, absolutely. There are cases. And just to jump into the tactics real quick. Number one, officer number one, meaning that contact officer who approaches a young man on the driver's side, number one. Good tactics keep you out of trouble. If you're going to pull somebody out of the car, thing one, close the door. Okay? Because now it can't be. Why? Because a subject will oftentimes fight you, get back in the car, and drive away. Well, when you close the door, you just make it much more difficult to do that. Number two, you watch the officer put the person into a position where you put the back of the hands together and you hold the hands. It's a cuffing position. Watch what the officer does. He gets his cuffs out. He goes to apply them. He pulls the cuffs back to give a verbal direction to the subject, right? And then he says something like, don't run. Okay, it sounds like I'm Monday morning quarterbacking, and I don't really mean to do that. But I know this. You got to get those cuffs on as quickly as possible. If you want to talk to somebody, do it after they're cuffed, or bring them to the back of the vehicle. All right, number three, and this is maybe the big part of this. This officer, you can hear it in her voice, and I've been around people like this for a long time. Stress will override your ability or your muscle memory. So what happens is to draw that taser, Marty, you've got to go across your body, and that feels a certain way. So everybody is saying, doesn't the taser feel different than the gun? Of course it does. The motion that you grab that taser versus the motion that you grab your pistol are completely different. But what happens with highly stress-induced situations, and you can hear her, she's scared.
Yeah.
What happens is the adrenal stress made her grab her most lethal rather than her less lethal. Now, does that draw into a perception that this young man was a black male, that he had warrants, all that kind of stuff? I don't know. I'm not in her head.
Right.
But I know this. I know she was scared, and a lot of times when you're not trained to the appropriate extent, that adrenaline rush will cause you to do things and make you make mistakes. And this wasn't an accident. This was negligence. Different legal definition,
nice.
And it's going to be different for her.
Can you hang, sir?
Absolutely.
Talking about very, very difficult to watch video. I don't care who you are. This Minnesota officer who shot Dante Wright, you can hear her yelling, taser, taser, taser. Then she shoots the young man, and then he dies. He drives away and he dies. And here's the deal. And you don't want to admit this, but it all comes down to race. Every single text, I'm not kidding, and my phone has been blowing up, same with Facebook, every single text from white males is this. Well, if you just listen to the cop, he'd be fine. Every single one. It's true. However, comma, thousands of times a year, and you know this if you're cops, you arrest white males who are swinging and kicking and punching and running, and you don't shoot them. This is a racial issue, whether you want to acknowledge this or not. Ron Layton joining me, one of the most highly regarded experts on training and background and security in the world. Worked for four presidents in the Secret Service. I highly value his observations. Ron, are you suggesting that officers are trained to be more wary of black suspects, sir? Or is it just instinctive, sir?
So, Marty, I'm not suggesting, of course, that that's in a policy, that it's in a written manual. But as soon as you get into this field, there's the book work, and then there's the street work. And some of this is in large measure dependent on where you work and the environment that you work in. But I am telling you, there are a significant number of officers who are taught, hey, kid, young man, young lady, you are much more likely to be harmed by a black male. So what kind of effect do you think that would have on the way that you police? And so now, when somebody like me, I'm in my middle age, Marty, I told you I've been pulled over 60, 65 times. So the point is that there is a perception of increased danger if and when you are dealing with black subjects in the minds of certain officers. Because that means this, you are more likely to go to an increased level of the force paradigm. Everybody's heard about that with the George Floyd case. I mean, fundamentally, it's officer presence, a verbal direction, empty hand tactics, and then you get into your instruments like your baton, your OC spray, your PR24, your taser. So the point is, in some subjects, there's no reason to do any of that. But if you believe that there is an increased danger associated with that person that you're talking to, there is a greater likelihood to go to a higher level on that force paradigm than you normally would have or should have. It also means this, Marty. You are less likely to engage in de-escalation. And so, again, for this officer, stress overrode her muscle memory. When she grabs her taser or when she's supposed to, that feels different. It feels different, and it should. That's the way that you're trained. But oftentimes, stress can override these things. Again, it's a failure in regard to duty of care. It's negligent.
How do you overcome every, just about every single white American says, to hell with it. All he had to do was listen, he'd be alive. How do you overcome that, sir?
So, Marty, there's no silver bullets out there, because if there was, we in policing would have figured that out. But it's consistent education and training. It's recruitment. I mean, when you see these incidents and we have this kind of conversation nationally, do you think it makes my job to go out and recruit young Secret Service agents or young officers? Do you think it makes it harder or easier when I'm trying to recruit African-Americans? Because I'm an internal change guy.
Yep.
So what ends up happening is in a squad room, you need to have these kind of conversations. It's not mandated by in-service training classes, but when you've got a diverse representation on your police department, it's easier to have these kind of conversations with fellow officers than it is from somebody sitting on the sidelines and telling you what you should and shouldn't do. So the recruitment piece of this is really, really big, because you just never get around to these conversations. That's a big piece of it. But what happens is when you see these kinds of incidents, whether it's the Windsor incident with the officer, the lieutenant that was pulled over,
right,
or Brooklyn Center or George Floyd, it makes it more difficult to recruit African-Americans, because they're going to simply say, why do I want to be a part of that? And somebody like me, who is an internal change guy, is going to say, the best way to make that thing better is to join us. And I got to tell you, that is a hard sell with a lot of people. But Marty,
yes, sir.
I believe that internal change, I believe to my core, that's the way forward. It's just hard. But that doesn't mean it's not worth doing.
Ron Layton, thank you, my friend. Excellent stuff. Appreciate it.
Marty, thank you. Have a good day.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.